want to thank you this morning for the Word of God. We thank you for your Spirit lives in us. He's our teacher. And so, Father, we ask by the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name that He makes His service clear. I pray in the name of Jesus that my words will be with boldness and sharpness, but accurately, Father God, preaching your word. I release myself into your hands and all these people, that their ears will be a hearing ear, every heart a listening and receptive heart, that will be producers of the word of God, not just hearers only, laying aside your word. We thank you for what it will do and how it will change us. We thank you in advance before this because you are a faith God, and we believe you for this. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, go ahead, be seated. For your obedience, that's wonderful. Everybody stood up, at least what I saw from here. Yeah, I just want to second the motion of thanking all the people who were here on Friday. Was seeing an army of people getting involved with all the cleaning, particularly outside the around the grounds. It was so nice, you know, when you don't clean outside, like nobody's here. So our neighbors actually called us the day before we were about to clean along the way on the other side there. Okay. Anyway, he was able to call us and tell us we need to cut your lawn, you know, like cut your grass over here. And so we said that's what we're going to do. We're going to do that tomorrow. Tomorrow is our time. So anytime you want to get on the tractor, anybody, we are available for your participation. So we want to help. We want to continue to have people involved throughout the summer. In fact, if you're going away for the season, make sure you're still going to church somewhere. If you're out of town, go to church, find a good church, visit. It's a good time to visit a church and see what it's like in another church. In fact, you know, summertime around here, people go for holidays and they go to the beach and cabins and so on and cottages and they just forget church. They don't go to church or they forget to give their tithe because we still have bills. You know, you don't just go away. So please make sure you're participating in all areas. Visit a church and be of good help over there. Sow a seed and tell them that we appreciate them, even if you're visiting a church in a city as well. I did that one summer. I visited some churches and see what they're doing. It was nice just to go and visit. I know you guys are visiting regularly different churches, and it's nice to go and see what they're doing. Praise God. Amen? I know some of you were away last week. Some of the women were away in the bush. And I heard they had a great time out there. So I know that the wing, the south wing, is that south wing? Or the east? West? That's the west. Okay. So the west wing is looking really good. And I've got to thank Brother Archie. He's done a magnificent job doing the work out there. If it wasn't for him, we'd still be a lot of mess out there. So him and his brother are working very diligently. And Pastor Steve has been involved here every day, I guess, 7 days a week, nonstop. This guy needs a holiday. So if you can help him out with a dinner once in a while, take him out to dinner, make sure he shaves, cut his hair. I think his wife did that last week, right? Yeah, took care of him. So, and he's believing God. He wants a cottage, I believe, right? So if you can give him a cottage, that'd be great too. Oh, man. Anyway, shall we pray one more time or get ready to go? One of my cameramen are talking to me. I always jump up whenever you start talking there. I thought, the thing, you're talking to me. Do I have my fly open or what? I want to remind people as well, we do have fellowship here for believers, new people who come into the church and they're not attached to another church. So what is that room called over here? Green room, it's called the green room. I don't know why they call it the green. Why do you guys call it the green? A guest room. Okay, the guest room. But I want to remind you, if you're here and you're going to slip out to go to the bathroom, please don't go into that bathroom in the green room because there's no fan in it, okay? So you can do number one in there, but number two you can't, because last week we had a Let me just say a horrible time. Just try to get the fellowship together. Okay, so if you want to do something, go downstairs or go in the bush because there's a lot of bush out here. Or go to the bathroom out here, okay? So I didn't want to embarrass anybody. I don't know who you are. We do have cameras of people going around here, so we can find out who it is. So it's probably Pastor Kent. So, Pastor Steve, wasn't you? One of the pastors, so anyway. Forget I said that, okay? Because I just wanted to make mention of that. So anyway. So tonight is last night for our leadership meeting. We want to invite all the people who participate in activities throughout the year. We're going to have some ice cream fellowship, and it's a quick time of message there together. So to kick off our summer. If you have your Bibles this morning, go to Mark chapter 11. We'll start with that verse of scripture. We've been doing a series called, you know, How to Believe God, How to Believe. And so this is, our third installment of that session. We had last week, we had Father's Day. And so this is our third segment of that version of How to Believe God. And so we entitled this message, Believe and Receive, or Doubt and Do It Out. And, doubting will rob you. So doubting God, the whole idea of this message is when we doubt God, we rob ourselves of the blessings that God intends for us. And so, if you get anything out of the message, that's it right there. If you doubt God, you'll do without. You'll be without the blessing, you'll be without the healing, the money, the good life, everything you need. So we want to talk about tonight, or this morning, what does it mean to doubt? When people question themselves, what does it mean to doubt? The text, again, let's go to Mark 11. Let's read two verses there, 23-24. The scripture says, For verily I say to you that whosoever, so everybody here is a whosoever shall say unto this mountain, you get the idea that somebody's talking to a huge problem, a mountain. Jesus is using this symbolically. He's not talking about a literal mountain. And so he's talking about a mountain of financial problems, a mountain of marital issues, a mountain of physical problems. You might have a large, something so huge for a human that they cannot seem to ever get by this situation. But Jesus said something incredible there about the law of using the faith of God, the law of saying, and prayer. For verily I say to you, verse 23, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. I want you to pay close attention to that phrase, doubt in his heart. Shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe, that is, again, believe in your heart. Believe in your heart, but shall believe in his heart that those things which he said shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. I want to pause here for a moment and just explain something, because a lot of people think, whatever God wants for me, I'll have it. I don't have to say too much. But the scripture said, Jesus said, whatever you say. And I want you to pay close attention to this, that whatever you've been saying over the years, whatever you've been confessing about your life, if you say things like, well, nothing ever turns out good for me, I always have trouble, I always go so far in my life and then fall apart, if you keep saying that, that's the law of confession, and that whatever you say eventually will come to pass, because whatever you say, you will begin to believe. Because over the years, people begin to say things that someone else told them. Someone else told you something when you're growing up, and you begin to say what they told you. They might have been, had good intentions, but sometimes people with good intentions even take people astray. So we have to correct our saying. He says that if you believe that those things which you say, it will come to pass. Then he goes on in verse 24 and explain about prayer. Understand that you have to understand that prayer is not going to work without understanding this law of the God kind of faith. Because people want prayer laid hands on them. They want people lay hands on them and with prayer, or they just want prayer without ever hearing the word of God. And they just want you to pray quickly so that you can get out and they can get back to doing whatever they were doing. They think this is going to work. Just laying hands on them is going to work. Well, laying hands, you understand, is just a point of contact of releasing your faith. There's no magic in laying on of hands. There is a doctrine of laying on of hands. You can lay hands on people to set them in ministry. You can lay hands on the sick. You can lay hands on people to receive the Holy Spirit. You can do a lot of things with laying on of hands. You can even grab somebody without the prayer. And so... So it says in here that verse 24, he explains, he says, therefore, you know, is a conjunction that adds on to what was being said before. He says, therefore I say unto you, Jesus is emphasizing something. He says, this, therefore I'm saying this because of what I just told you. He told them in verse 23 about what the God kind of faith is. It's number one, believing with your heart, saying with your mouth. Believing with your heart, saying with your mouth. Everybody say, believing with my heart, saying with my mouth. Say, believing with my heart, saying with my mouth. Say, believing with my heart, saying with my mouth. That's the law of the God kind of faith. When God says something, he already believes it. What you say is what you believe. What you are saying about yourself is what you've been believing. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, what your confession is on a regular basis, what you say is what's been built up in your spirit. What you say about your family, what you say about your church, what you say about your city, what you say about anything in life has already been put in there by what you have been hearing. Faith comes by hearing. When you hear somebody and that keeps going into your ear, you keep listening to that, and all of a sudden it lodges into your spirit. Then you begin to say that. And I realized this at some early age in my life, when I started getting a little bit older in the Lord, I was in my early 20s, and I began to see this. I didn't call it the God kind of faith. I didn't understand that, but I understood about saying and hearing. Because I understood it because of what social scientists told me, because I studied social science, and I'm a graduate of social sciences. I have a couple of degrees in it. And I understand about that. And, people say things because of what they said, whoever they are. You know what people say? You know what people say they're saying? And so we tend to verbiage or say what the majority is talking about or what they're saying. Whether it be about your physical ailment, whether it be about your financial situation or marriage, we want to say what everybody else is saying. I think we need to change that and find out what God is saying about your situation. If you're successful now, imagine what you'd be with God. If you have a good marriage right now, imagine what it would be with God in it. And it's amazing what people think. They think, well, I'm already successful. I don't have to do this. I don't have to tithe because I'm already have money. Well, thank God you've learned some things over the years. Imagine what you'd do if you were a tither. And you join with God. Hallelujah. What God would do with your 90% better than what you did with your 100%. God is supernatural. Hallelujah. And so we tend to believe things more than, you know, what majority says about whatever. So let's read that verse again from the top. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire. I want you to notice also it says things. There's things in life we say about things. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. The Bible says the moment you're praying about whatever it is you're praying about, whatever thing you're praying about, that moment you have to believe you got it. That moment you got it, you believe that you received. Then God makes sure that you have it. Hallelujah. Our part is believing. God's part is making sure that we have it. So this is the prayer of faith. If you prayed a prayer before and you didn't receive because you didn't understand this verse of scripture, you didn't understand what God says, so you ask God again and again and again and again, and you go to another meeting, a special meeting, you think, okay, this special meeting has got to work this time. This evangelist looks good. He looks mighty. He looks like, he's got a lot of, character. He's got a lot of stuff behind him. He's gone to Africa. He's got healings in Africa. So he probably could heal me right now. And so you go back at the healing line and you prayed about that again. Then you didn't, nothing never happened. So I guess we need to look at this again and study it and say if Jesus is a liar or the Bible is a liar, are we reading this wrong? I mean, we've got to come right down to reduce it to the common, what is it, the common denominator. It's about believing and receiving. Yeah. Believing and receiving. And so if you notice some people who say they believe something, they tend to act like they didn't receive it by going up for prayer again over and over and over. So they never received it the first time. And the next time you pray for the same thing you had before that I prayed for you about or somebody else did, if you pray about it again, then you didn't receive it. Kind of in a flux. You're still in a whatever, you're not going to receive it. Be quiet. Hang on a second. You understand that? So you have to understand the moment you pray, that's what you have to receive. So we always say, so what happens when you say you receive? Well, if you receive something, what does it look like? A guy with a long face, are you sure he never received? He never smiles. He acts nervous. So when we say, we don't go around talking about it, complaining it on social media. No, you got to believe it. And say, yes, I have it. Thank God. If they ask you, did you receive it? Well, yes, I did. Well, you don't look like it. The doctor's report actually was worse than the last time. You say, no, I don't care what the doctor said. I believe what the Word of God says. If you're willing to do that, then yeah, you're gonna eventually gonna come. But if you keep doing what you've been doing, then you're not gonna get what you wanted. So let's find out what it says about doubting. Okay, so there are many people who are continuing to miss out on God's blessings because they doubt God instead of believing God and His Word. We must know the difference between doubting God's Word and believing God's word with our hearts if we're going to enjoy the blessings of God. So we're going to look at some scripture and examine the difference between doubting and believing here. So what is doubt? If we ask ourselves again the question, what is doubt? We want to know the meaning. You know, people who, when I was in grade school, I remember our teacher said, you know, okay, so we're going to get 10 words and we want you to find out what these words mean. So you went to your, everyone had the dictionary. Anybody had that experience? School, if you went to school, you had that experience. But now you just go your smartphone. Yeah, all the kids, you know, when they're teaching at the college, before you can say something, they're all on their smartphone. I said, wait a minute, not yet. Don't use your smartphone, I said. We're going to do this and tell us about what you think it means first. Because I need to know what you think it means as your teacher so that you understand you know, our communication, you know, what we're talking about. So you could mean, you know, a word could mean one thing to you and one thing to me. So we need to be on the same page here. So I guess, you know, we've all had the, you know, if you're going to have a good communication, you have to understand the meaning of things. If you have the same meaning, and if you doubt that, then you're not going to get anywhere. So let's go to James chapter 1, verse 68. You know, James was Jesus' brother. So we have to, I mean, Mark was very close to Jesus. He wrote about Mark 11, 23. And here James says there, he's talking about receiving, asking for wisdom. In the previous verses, if a man wants wisdom, he said, let him ask God. Then he goes on in verse 6. But let him ask in faith. So if you're going to ask God something, you're going to have to ask him in faith. Like some people ask God something and they want an answer somewhere. You should send a cloud by now. There's no thundering voice, so they doubt God right away if they didn't feel anything. If I go up to prayer and he lays hands on me, I don't feel any tingling like I did last time, then I guess I'm not receiving. So they're trying to figure out God with how they feel. So, you know, so we see here, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Everyone say nothing wavering. He said, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. So now he's talking about asking in faith. Now he's talking about thinking. So that's another part of you. Your heart is not your thinking part. Your heart is your soul. Or excuse me, your thinking part is your soul. So your soul, when you believe in God, your soul can be affected. Because your feeling and your thinking can't grasp spiritual things sometimes. Because if you don't understand spiritual laws, then your mind is not going to be there with that. So you have to understand. That's why renewing of the mind is so important. Renewing of the mind with the Word of God is so important, so that we have our mindset. We know what God's Word is saying. Then when we're believing, then we kind of align it up pretty quick. But when we have to align our minds with our heart, then it takes a little bit longer. There's a process that happens. It takes a little bit longer. So then the devil comes along and tries to trick you and tells you stuff, fills your mind with stuff, and then you stop believing. I'm going to show you something valuable when you leave here today, that you'll understand that even if doubt comes, what you can do about it. So he said, let that man... not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. If you're wavering, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So, doubting, the word doubt has a root word, you know, in there from the word double. You know, when the word double, we see double. Doubt. So that word actually means to be double-minded, or to be of two minds, two mindsets. To doubt means to have two minds about the situation. It means to waver from one thought to the other thought, back and forth, back and forth. One day you're believing, next day you're not. In your mind you say, yes, it's good. And then all of a sudden, doubt comes, it was stronger. You said, no, it's not. So you're wavering in your soul, back and forth, and nothing is going on, and you're not pleased with yourself. In your heart, you don't feel good about it. There's something about the Word of God, if you lodge this in your heart, that is so stabilizing. The Bible calls the Word of God a stabilizer. It calls it an anchor for your soul. So once you get that anchor in, it, no matter what storm you got there, and you're going to stay strong, you're going to stay steady in one place. The Scripture describes that. So in the Scripture, James says a doubting person tends to be like the wavering ship on the water. When the storm comes, they're up and down, right, left, and back and forth, up and down, right way, left way. So he's unstable, always missing, you know, the mark. You know, the wind's going, taking them down the river or down there, and they're going this way and that way. A person that doubt wavers between two opinions back and forth because he's not confident and not sure. Not confident and not sure is not a good place to be if you're believing God for your healing, especially if you're critical. And you know what's happening. You know where you're going to eventually end up. You know, a lot of us have had bad, you know, reports from the doctor. They said this is where you're going to be all your life. You're going to have this puffer. I wish they said you could have a check every month. I like to believe that, for me. So, you know, it's amazing, you know, we believe doctors like 100%. I mean, it's like God's word. Eh? Well, go ahead and take this, you'll be all right. And you go home and you feel, you're actually really sick, but you all of a sudden, anybody ever had this experience? You go to the dentist, you're sore, all of a sudden you're sitting there, it's all gone. Just sitting in the chair. I've had that experience. I had sore, man, oh, man. Couldn't stand it for 7 days and get to the dentist. I'm sitting there, oh, this feels better. I saw that needle. I remember my cousin, you know, we're all lining up in the hall and back in the Indian day school. So the dentist would come at least once a year to check our teeth out. So we're all standing in rows. We're all in rows in the hallway like this. And you could see kids coming up bloody. Ah! And you know, just their mouth is full of gauze, and you know, just they look like they came out from an army. That scene, you know, bloody. My cousin, you know, he's there, and they're screaming out, and you know, in terrible pain. I mean, just seeing that, all the stuff there, that's pain enough to see all that on the, you know, you look at the dentist's equipment. That terrifies you. That's a needle, man. So the doctor is filling that up, and he's on his chair. He looks back. Where'd he go? He took off. Needless to say, he didn't have any teeth when he was 20. But anyway, doubt is like that. So you're unsure of something. You're not confident in what you're believing God for, so you have two minds. You're wavering from one opinion to another opinion. So maybe you're right there right now. Maybe right now you're not confident about your future, about your situation going on. You're in and out. You're saying, you know, one day you're good, next day you get up. It's like a Maxwell House commercial. You get up in the morning, woo, woohoo, woohoo, what a good day, eh? You're well rested, huh? Until 10 o'clock. Some morning, you get up those days like that, nothing can shake you. Man, you could have everything falling apart, you're just great. Other days, you're just really low, man, what's happening? Did somebody pull the rug out of me? The wind in the sails is gone. It's flat. I'm dying here. I'm just about, the world's going to end. You need some serotonin. You need to get that up a little bit. Go watch a hockey game. You know, when I used to feel bad, I used to watch that Lemieux Gretzky last 1987, I think it was. They won that Canada Cup Series. I'd watch that over and over just to make myself feel good. Woo-hoo! You do what you have to do. So a person in faith remains firm or stays firm no matter what the conditions are, even if it gets worse. Somebody says to me, pray for me that I'm going to have a good report. I'm going to see the doctor next week. Well, that means I have to pray that the doctor changes that report. If you're bad, if you're dying, then he's going to have to put on there, you're going to live. Well, why don't we just believe God that no matter what the report is, God can make change that thing. That's the better way to believe. And say, so when they say that, I know their faith is in the doctor or the medicine. Let's have faith both in the medicine and God, which is a better way. Let's pray that the medicines will work. If they have any adverse effect, let's pray that there be no adverse effect. Let's pray that God's, working in your body. So a person in faith doesn't doubt, stays firm, no matter what the conditions seem, is confident. Faith people who believe are strong. They're staying strong. They're continuous, even when contrary situations seem to belie their confession, whatever they're saying. Like Abraham in Romans 4:20. Remember the story about Abraham? God told him about, in his old age, he's going to have a son. Him and his wife, they're very old. And God said to him, God gave us that story for a reason. For us to believe in just terrible situations, and 2018, that you're going to have hard times. A man of his age and his wife, very old, that's why I told Pastor Ken yesterday Cindy wasn't there. We said, so you're going to have some more children. I said, come on, Pastor Ken, one more time. He said, no way. So Pastor Steve can do it. We believe it. Because we want to grow the church. We're talking about growing the church. So we start with us. Right? So I got my little boy at home. He's sleeping in this morning. His name's Sully. He's a good guy. Like father, like son. So Abraham, in Romans 4:20, the Bible says that he didn't stagger between two opinions. The Bible says that in verse 20, Romans 4, but he staggered not at the promises of God. He staggered not at the promises of God. He staggered not at the promise of God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians that every word, every promise is yes and amen. Every promise. So we need to say whatever, if we could find a promise in the scripture that we could believe, yes, God, I believe that. So even when the contrary circumstances are there, people seem to believe better when there's nothing against them. But when there is a situation, oh man, wringing your hands, let's pray again, let's try again, let's pray again. And let's see if I can feel better here. So they're just going by feelings. We're going by what they think about it. We know what happens when people just go by what they think about it. It's not about what you think about it. It's what God thinks about it. Thank God around here we understand this. We don't care what anybody says. What does God say about it? What does he say about your situation? Did you find a promise in there that says something good about your situation? Then believe that instead of what the doctor said or whatever. We've seen people with things that are incurable that are alive today. I think about Joel Osteen. I'm one of the famous people that I know. Joel Osteen's mom had cancer, liver cancer, I believe it was. She had only a few weeks to live. So she went home and I say, honey, pray for me because you're my husband. Lay hands on me and pray for me because you're head of my house. She said, I'm going to pray and I receive. And she got sicker and sicker and sicker, but she said, I still believe I receive. And today is still alive. I don't know how old she's in her late 80s, 90s. She received. Supposed to die in 2 weeks. And there's other folks that had the same situation. They're not supposed to live. Understand, if you can believe, thank God, but you can't always make someone live if you're trying to believe for them. Because they have a faith. And God's not going to override their unbelief because you believe for them. They have to believe too. So, he didn't stagger at the promise of God. You know the word stagger? We saw that word stagger. The Bible says that, James says that a man who doubts is like the ship staggering, you know, going one side to the other side. And Abraham was not like that. He didn't stagger between two opinions. James says that like a man who believes, he wants to receive, but he has two opinions about something. He's not going to receive it because he's going back and forth again. That's what the Bible tells us. And so he said he staggered not the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. So he had an option. You and I have an option to stagger, or we could be strong in faith. You have a decision right now to be strong in faith or to continue to stagger. And that's a choice that you make. You say, well, that's not a good choice. No, that's still a choice you make. When I was in school there, my wife and I were teaching. We teach adult students at the college. We had one student there that was issued something from the court that he either has to participate in his own recovery. He had to either go back to jail or go to school and go to treatment. So he's in school. He was missing school, and I have to, in my class, you have to be in my class or else we can't keep you. So I told the coordinator, this person's not coming to school. I'm not going to pass him. He's going to be kicked out. So you have a choice. So that person says, we talked to that person. They said, no, I don't have a choice. I have to be here. One person said, but they didn't want to participate. This other person, they said, you're in my classroom. I need you to pay attention. When I'm talking to you, you should be looking up with us, talking, looking at us, but not sitting down there working at something, a math issue that you have in another class. This is not math class. This is not English class. Do your English and math at another time because this is my class. You're coming to my classroom. And, I said, well, go ahead. So anyway, they said, well, I don't have a choice. I have to be here. Why? He said, well, if I don't attend here, they'll cut me off welfare. Well, that's still a choice. You still have choices. It might not be good choices, but, the better choice is to be here in the classroom. And then you're not going to go back to jail, and you'll have your welfare. What are we talking about welfare for? But anyway, people have a choice, I'm trying to say, right? You got a choice. So he was strong in faith. So you have a choice right now to be strong in faith. Everybody here can be strong in faith. You don't have to wait for 2 years. You don't have to wait to be strong in faith till you have 5 Bible studies of faith under your belt. You don't have to go to Rhema Bible School. You don't have to go 10 years and wait till your faith is strong. You can be strong right now. Right now, you can be strong in faith. The Bible says in Ephesians, be strong in the Lord. He didn't say it after 10 years. Joshua was having a hard time. God tells him, be strong, Joshua, be strong. He didn't say tell you went to Bible school. He said, you be strong. You have a chance right now to be strong. You can be strong in faith. How do I be strong in faith? Start glorifying God. Say, thank you, Lord. I have it. I believe your word. That's being strong in faith. Yeah, but I don't believe it. Still go ahead and do it. Hallelujah. If you don't believe it, just go ahead and do it. Oh, some people say, well, I don't believe that. I believe science. I believe in science. Okay. Yeah. So people who continue to doubt will do it out. Eventually, they're not gonna get anything. Our text says, let a man not think in his heart that he shall receive, it says in James 1:7. If you're going to doubt God, you have to be honest with yourself. You have to be honest and take an evaluation of yourself. Every one of us has to. Don't wait till it's too late that the doctor says you got 2 weeks to live. Now you feel that you have to confess the word every day and be strong that way. You know, oh, I got to wait. You know, I tell people, no, show up Wednesday night. We teach here Wednesday night. I teach every Wednesday night. Now they want me to come at the last minute when you're dying. They want me to come and be the pinch hitter. You know, they want me to pinch it. Okay, pray, Pastor, pray. I'm receiving. That's what happens to me. I'm being serious about it. That's what I told a guy, okay, he's going to die. The doctor said, you know, if you don't do something about this, you're going to die. So I went to visit that guy in the hospital. I said, okay, you know what, I realized this guy had no faith. And I can't visit him all day and read with him. I said, okay, take this little book. It's a little book, 10 pages. I want you to read this. I'll come back tomorrow. We're going to pray. I'll be back tomorrow. I know you're going to die overnight. In my head, I said that. I didn't tell him that. Okay? So I went back to him the next day. I said, did you read it? Oh, man, I got no time. He says, he's laying in bed. He said, you know, he doesn't like that book. I get him another book. I got him another book. Did you read the book the second day? No, I got too much to do. The third day. After the third day, I said, I didn't tell him I was not coming back. I said, okay, well, I'll talk to you later. What happened to him? Well, he was still doing the same thing, asking people to come over, pray for him for the same thing. I saw people going back and forth, going in there. And he said, you're not ready for prayer. Are you ready when I lay hands on you? The moment I lay hands on you, are you ready to believe at that time you receive?
Yeah, hallelujah.
That's what you have to ask yourself. Is that the point? If I lay hands on you, is that the point that you're going to receive? From that point on, no matter what happens, you're going to believe that you got it. That's the honesty you gotta have out here. When I was going to school, I was not a very good student because of my own circumstances in life. I mean, I wanted to be a good student. I just didn't have the chance. I never went to school because my parents were alcoholics. We didn't have anything to eat, so I didn't go to school. And when I went to school, I thought I was stupid and dumb because I didn't understand what everybody was doing because I was not in class. So I kept that in my mind all those years. And when I got to college, I thought I still feel that way. It's like a lady we talked to not too long ago. She got skinny, but she used to really be really big. She now looks good. Like that? Okay? What? I'm telling you. And she thinks she's huge. In her mind, she's huge still. So when I went to college, I looked good. I was not on the street anymore, you know. Got my nice clothes on and class, you know. Going from class to class. I looked good, but I didn't feel good. I felt I didn't belong there. But it was inside me. I had to change what was inside me. But once I started to believe God, I remember started believing God. And I said, I finally got it one day. I said, no matter what happens, I believe God. The Lord spoke to me. And I believe God, no matter what happens, I receive. No matter what happens, I don't have any money, but I'm going to grad school. I don't have any money on me, but I'm going to grad school in September. You know? And I had access money. By the time that came around, I had access money when it came. And, you know, so, I could tell you stories that I was thousands of dollars in debt and believed God. I believed God. Not because I was smart or a banker or because I went and made, you know, I have different skills than different people. Like, I can't, like I told my wife, I could go and with Pastor Steve and just sit around there and look at them. Oh, yeah, I could learn, I guess, but I don't want, I don't have time. That's not my job. So there's other people who have different skills. If you want to learn, come with me to the hospital. We could do different things. Come with me to the college. I'll show you different things, how you can work that kind of part of the life. And there's some things you have to stand on for a long time sometimes before you believe, although it doesn't seem right. There's things in my life right now that I'm believing that I receive, but it's not there yet. I shall receive means future tense. Shall is future tense. Believe I receive is now. Shall is future tense. Somewhere along the line, it's going to happen. So, I'm not going to have two minds. So we think about different people, like I'm going to have to cut this down because I know Jesus said, you shall not doubt in his heart. There's an example I want to show you. There's a couple of them. We're not going to get into it, but I'm just remind you about it. Remember the 10 spies Moses told to go over, and I believe it's 11, Numbers chapter 13, I believe it is. Go over to the land there and spy out, see what the land is like. The 12 spies went out. Two guys came back with a good report because they believed God, because they heard God say something before they went out. They all had the same word that God says, I'm giving you the land. It's a land of milk and honey. Go get it. 10 people come back with a bad report because they measured what they saw with themselves. We can't do that. We can't say, well, okay, this is too big for me. I don't have the skill. I don't have the knowledge to do this. But you're not on your own. You're with God. God's going to send, either has to send you somebody, or somebody's going to have to help you, and somebody's going to have to help you. God helps, will send you people to help you. I thank God for Riel. He helped us out with thousands of dollars on this part over here. You know, you came at the right time, Riel, to help us out at a certain time. Bang, he was there to help us out. Because we're believing God that somebody has the answer. Somebody's got it. So they came back and said, no, we can't do it. Because what we saw, we feel that we can't do it. So doubting has nothing to do with how you feel. If you believe in your feelings, you're going to go down. Because people feel bad or don't feel any better, they start doubting God. Or they hear what other people are saying. Those 10 spies affected a whole generation of people. Our doubt, your doubt, is going to affect not only you, but your children and your grandchildren. You understand that? Doubting will affect not only you, but people around you. People watch you as grandpa. People watch you as a husband and wife, how you behave. And if or not, you believe God. Or you're just believing in some government thing or the bank or some money coming in. Or you believe in God. You know, I mean, you criticize me or not. I mean, I'm doing stuff. People ask me, well, I had some business guy who's working, who depends on funds from the government. He's got a lot of money coming into his business from the government. And asked me, how do you run this thing? I said, you run it by people coming here. How do you get people work? People working here, they don't get paid. They come in because they trust in God too. So this is an operation. We bought this building for $600,000. Now, they told us it's $2.2 million for this property if we were to sell it today. But, you know, I mean, you get that part fixed up, maybe a little bit more. It's got to be a little bit more, right? I mean, it's amazing when you go through different things. Thank God. I mean, I think about something, you know, how people are so generous and they help, they want to help, and they have an opportunity to help, and they bless. They get a blessing back. When we started on that roof, or this side was going to be $100,000, all of a sudden there's $120,000, $130,000 going up, and I said, guys, listen, we might have to lay you all off again in the summertime. So they start believing God. I'm me first, like, you know. I said, I mean, this is the ministry. We're believing God. You know, when you give a check, you're paying for everything. You, all of us is, or you're not. And so that's a, all of a sudden it was 100,000. Wow, we're happy. Woo-hoo-hoo, we got it back. Woo-hoo-hoo. All of a sudden it's going to be 100, maybe 140,000. Oh my Lord! Oh, what are we gonna do now? Well, we're gonna do the same thing we did before, and that's believe God. 140,000, Mama. Did he? He didn't call you, did he? Oh, yeah. Pastor Ken wouldn't do that. I love Pastor Ken. He believes God. One day, I got to tell this story. He comes in with this nice white Honda. Leather, everything inside. Just beautiful. I look in the back. There's a power saw there. A bunch of wood in the back. They said, Pastor Ken, you got wood in the back. That was when he was living in that other house, eh? Thank God. Anyway, where is he? Oh, children's department. Thank God he's not here. Anyway. No, it's 140,000. Pastor Steve calls me on a Friday. Pastor, I got to talk to you. I know when that voice talks to me, there's something extra. He said, Monday we're supposed to get the roof off. And I said, you know what, Pastor? He said, listen to me. We looked at that roof up there. You know where all the leak is? It's another $100,000 on top of that 140. Ah! But I thank God for people's help. And so, you know, we didn't know. I didn't know what to do. As the next guy, what are you going to do? I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. What am I going to get? We don't have millionaires here. In the church. We got just common people who work regular jobs, and they come and give. You know, at least a good chunk of people give. So you're not going to go back to the same people. They're already stretched out. They're already given extra, on other days. What are you going to do? You're not going to waver? You can still trust God. There's somebody out there. Somebody's going to give. Listen, the other day, I had one of the best gifts at my Father's Day gift. It wasn't for my own kids. I had a spiritual daughter, gave me a card, beautiful writing on there about how of a father I am to that person, as one of our spiritual girls in the house. And in it was $400. Anybody understands? A single mom. And you understand about a single mom giving you, anybody ever gave me $400 here? Change? But this one did. I'll tell you, I was so floored. I couldn't say anything for 2 days. Finally, I got to say something. I thought about the girl's dad. I knew the girl's dad, how that girl was raised up. You know, and what they were told and how they were taught. And I see the prosperity in that person's life today, how what they're doing in their own lives, about being a giver, and how much favor this person has wherever they go. Didn't have to have a degree to make all that money, but God brings money to that person. It's amazing. Sometimes the biggest givers, one Christmas, my wife and I had no money. This old lady over here, when we first started, came to my house, Grace Pearson, hands me a check for $500. I didn't know we were going to get our money. We just had one little girl. We just started planning the church. We gave up our salaries, gave up our careers, came in, worked in the ministry. We're missionaries in our own hometown, raising a faith church. And, you know, that speaks volumes. And still here today. I think about another older couple that handed me a check for $1,000. Said, you know, here's for the building fund. When I was, Gene, I think about Gene. We were just getting the new building. Gene's a single mom. Came and handed me a check for $7,000. I believe it was $500. I said, I can't receive. I told my wife, there's no way I can't receive this. Let's take this back to her. I was going to take that back, that money back to Gina, $7,500. This was 25 years ago. And then I said, the Lord said to me, you can't take that money back to her. A single mother handing me a check, $7,500. Here's for the building. This is the building we're standing in right now. This is the seat. It says continue to go. Because why? Because they believe God. They're believing God, not only in that financial area, but it affects their health, their mental health. You know, God will test you in the area of finances. It'll help your marriage. It'll help everything in your life. We need to trust God for different areas. Now, you know, I didn't mean to share those stories. I don't mean to. I could tell other stories about other people in this house that give. They don't give in those ways, but they give in other ways, thousands of dollars helping out every day. Here every day. Some of the biggest workers are the biggest givers at times, and they just give 100% to God because they're trusting God. They're unshakable in their faith. I didn't finish this, but I think I gave you enough. Let's go ahead and stand up, and we're going to close. Hallelujah. We're not wavering. The promises of God and unbelief. We're trusting the Lord. No matter what he said, you know, no matter what the doctor said, no matter what the banker said, and you know, we try to borrow money from the bank, they laughed at us. give you what? But God has other plans for us. We're going to trust. You know, a church from Toronto sent me a thing. They wanted us to give $5,000 to them, so that they can have their church building over in Toronto. They planted two churches in Toronto. We have to look at that. There's another church that's building Faith City Church. They need, I can't remember, they needed 50 grand or 30 grand to start the process to get into their church. In Geraldton, the churches that we planted is now buying a building. Hallelujah. We're going to sow seed to that. Amen? We're going to sow seed. And believe God for Pastor Bev and Pastor Glenn so that they can. They're doing an excellent job. They had a women's conference, very successful. Women from Northwestern Ontario. They rented out the Dorian Bible Camp property, and they just had all these women from everywhere. Successful venture. Thank God for the work they're doing in Geraldton. Father, we want to thank you this morning as we looked at doubting. We're not going to be of two minds. We're not going to just believe on what we see, but we're going to believe. Jesus, you said to doubting Thomas, as we call him, he said, I'll not believe till I see, until I feel. So it's not about feeling and seeing, it's about believing what we hear your word says. You said, blessed are those who have not seen, you said there in 1 Peter, but those who believe. So I want to thank you that we're believing you, and believing is trusting like it's so. Believing is acting like it's done. Believing, acting like the word of God is true, and no matter what situation we're in, maybe we've got a marital issue, relationship, job issue, employment, financial, no matter what it is, physical problems, we're trusting your word that it's real. We're going to hang on to the promises. We're not going to stagger at the promise of God. We're not going to waver in unbelief, but we're going to be strong in it. So thank you this day that we trust in the word of God, no matter what it is. God is our source, spirit, soul, and body. If there's anybody here, sound of my voice, that haven't made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life, this is the time to invite Jesus in your life. If you're here this morning, and if you've not made Jesus the Lord of your life, this is a time, an opportunity for you to come to God. If you're watching online, this is a time for you to watch, to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If there's somebody here that say, God, I want you in my life. I need to be born again. I need to be saved. There's somebody here that would say that. Lift your hand. I want to pray with you and believe God with you. Anybody here? Thank you, Lord God. Nobody here. Thank you, Father. We pray we're going to have a wonderful week. We thank you that this is going to be an awesome week. And we thank you that we're healed. And we thank you according to the word of God, not according to what we feel. We thank you. Healing is ours. We thank you, it's mine, I have it now. We thank you, Lord God, that whatever we need financially, we call it in the name of Jesus. If we need help or we need wisdom for our lives, we thank you. We're asking for wisdom. Thank you for it, that it's coming in. So we praise you. We're going to continue to thank you for it because we've asked you, because we receive it in our heart right now. In Jesus' name, everybody say, I believe that I receive. I will not doubt and do it out. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, have a wonderful day. You're dismissed.